Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford-certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com. Go to www.bestford.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Second and goal to go from the two. Allen motions left to right, then reverses direction. Brady under center. A give to Burkett. Runs it left for the win! Touchdown, Patriots! And they're bound for Super Bowl 53!
What a call, Sosie. We're going back, baby. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. America's worst nightmare is back. We're going to our fourth Super Bowl in 5 years. Pack your bags. Start our buses. We're coming home, Boston. Oh, my God. Can't believe it. It's not their year, right? It just might be. It just might be.
Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Make sure you download the 98.5 Sports Hub app. Stream us anytime through your smart speakers as well.
Bye!
Right, so?
Yes! Say, hey, play 98.5 the Sports Hub. That's all you gotta do. And bam, we're right there. Appreciate you.
Well, Andy Reid wants overtime rules changed.
This struck a nerve with me yesterday because D Ford.
I can tell.
D freaking Ford, who can't line up onside, got franchised. Then he goes to the Pro Bowl and he does it again. Lines up another yard offside. He can't even line up and they're franchising this guy. Well, why are they franchising this guy? Because they're switching their defense. Because their defense sucks so freaking bad that Fat Boy's got to take his cheesecake menu that he uses as a play sheet. Look here, Mahomes didn't get the ball. Mahomes didn't get the ball. You're so upset Patrick Mahomes didn't get the freaking ball. You know why you're upset? Because your defense sucks and you can't do anything about it. You could score and you could score a lot of points, but if your team comes out and gets their ass kicked in the first half, maybe you can't score enough points and then you don't get the ball in overtime. And Patrick Mahomes didn't get it. It's a travesty. Where were you 2 years ago? Where were you 2 years ago when New England did the same damn thing to Atlanta? I didn't hear you bitching in. This is what happens when you get your ass kicked. You want to go out and change the rules with everybody. So you're switching to a 4-3-4 to a 4-3 to try and stop the run. Now all of a sudden D Ford doesn't fit you, but you're going to franchise him and then try and trade his ass? Not a smart player. Not a smart coach. Good offensive coach. But a guy that has problems, you know, with the clock, with everything, the way they function at times, not finding good defensive people to put around him to help his football team. So now you want to change the rules. You know what the Rams did? You know what the Los Angeles Rams did? They earned their ass a trip to the Super Bowl 53. Why? Because Drew Brees, even though they screwed up at the end of that game and they blew that call, Saints still had the ball first in overtime. They score a touchdown, they win. You know what the Rams did? They blitzed his ass. They hit him. He turned it over. They went down, kicked a field goal, earned a trip to the Super Bowl by doing what? Playing defense. It's another part of the game. But now in the offensive-minded game with the Rams and the Chiefs and this, Patriots are 3-0 against the Rams and Chiefs this year. Beat the Chiefs twice, beat the Rams. Sometimes defense wins football games. What'd you hear at the end of that Super Bowl 53? Three spot. A freaking three spot. Yeah, you might think it was an ugly game. That was a defensive battle. If you like defense, if you like old school football, you love that Super Bowl. Was it entertaining? It's not like the Atlanta game. You're not down 25. It's not, you know, going gun, throwing the damn ball every damn play. It's pissed me off. This is what happens when you lose. Everybody wants to change the freaking rules to benefit themselves. Stop them.
So
do a three and out. Hold them to a field goal. You couldn't even hold New England to a freaking field goal. They ran it down your throat at home.
The NFL's overtime rules changed in 2012, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
I looked it up. That was the year they changed them.
Yeah, Mike Giardi loves this too. Go ahead.
Yesterday I did a search for, you know, you go into Google and you can set the dates, search within this range. I searched from 2012 through last month, mm-hmm. or going back before the game, right? I went back to the end of calendar year 2018. I could not find in that search of 5+ years since when the rules changed any quotes from Andy Reid that were critical of the NFL's overtime rules.
Bingo.
I tried, and if they exist, please send them along.
This is what the Colts do. This is what Tony Dungy and Bill Polian did when they got their ass kicked back in the early 2000s.
Maybe my Google search is not as good as yours. Maybe I'm just not as crafty with the Google as you are. And if you could find something, I was genuinely curious to know if maybe this had been some sort of crusade that Andy Reid was against the current NFL overtime rules. We know that some people are. There are people that do not like these rules and have been critical of these rules throughout their entire existence. Back off the mic, so. There you go. I could not find one instance of Andy Reid being involved in any one of these stories or quotes. And maybe, maybe he has said something, but I couldn't find it.
He's been involved in one big overtime story in his career. It's when Donovan McNabb forgot that there were ties in football.
Yes.
Back in 2008.
Another brilliant disciple of Andy Reid.
And Andy Reid had to come to his defense.
And so I couldn't find Andy Reid complaining about the rules at any point prior to him losing in the AFC title game to the Patriots. So that, to me, doesn't make him look good. That makes him look like a sore loser is what it makes him look like. And I think to your point, Zoe, you're saying learn to play some defense. How about you make a stop?
One. All you got to do is hold the field goal.
Hold them to three.
Not saying turn the ball over.
So here's what I would also
turn it over.
I would also like to ask Andy Reid this. So you gave up a touchdown on your first drive there. Yeah, right?
Right, you
gave up a touchdown. This is what my biggest issue is with those that want to change the overtime rules. So you get the ball back, and you're assuming that with Patrick Mahomes and your offense, you believe you're capable of scoring a touchdown, or at the very least, you want the chance to. So let's assume that you think highly of your own team, and then Patrick Mahomes scores a touchdown. And then what are we doing? The field goal wins?
Yeah.
So what do you want to force them to do? You want to force the Patriots to kick an extra field goal when they get the ball back?
So here's
to go home. It's okay to lose in sudden death at that point once you've scored. What have you really accomplished is sort of my question.
Here's what I would have laughed my ass off. Say Andy Reid kicked off there and the Chiefs kicked off, and say Cordero Patterson took it 98 yards for a touchdown. Is Andy Reid, under the same assumption, think he deserves the football back because your special teams can't execute a kickoff? You're going to allow the return to go 98 yards? Touchdown. Oh, that's okay because we're going to put Patrick Mahomes back out on the field. We could give up 7 points on a kick return. You don't deserve it. The nice thing that the Rams did, they turned it over. They didn't even have to drive. All they had to do was kick a field goal. That's all you had to do, Andy. You don't need a touchdown. All you got to do is have New England stopped and hold them to a field goal. Then all you have to do is come down to have a kick a field goal to keep the thing rolling. Like, this pisses me off.
It pisses you
sore
off because
it's a sore loser.
It is in vein of Bill Polian bitching to the league about guys being too physical on his receivers.
And he had
that type of rule change.
And he had a good team under Alex Smith, under his direction. They got popped in the playoffs a couple years ago. And I hear him bitching after New England beat Atlanta. Where was Andy at the combine and all the owners and coaches meetings after that? Oh, I'm looking for play sheets. I'm going to get Matt Patrick Mahomes ready. We're going to spread it out. We're going to do misdirection. We're going to use Kelsey. No. You weren't bitching 2 years ago. Now all of a sudden you're going to bitch because it happened to you.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brady takes the snap, dropping back, throws it right underneath, off the hands of Gronkowski, intercepted. It's picked off, and then the ball comes to Tarvarius Ward, careening out of bounds along the near side. An interception off the hands of Edelman, and then an interception off the hands of Gronkowski. There's a penalty marker on the other side of the field. There's Cleet Blakeman, the referee.
Oh, my.
Offside. He's in. Wow. 55. Line up in the neutral zone. The 5-yard penalty will be replay third down.
That was D Ford, one of the guys who was tagged yesterday.
Is that offside?
Apparently, the Chiefs are looking to do like a sign-in trade here. They tag him, and now they want to trade him?
Yeah. Really smart player. Guys, you're going to love him.
Why are they doing that?
To get something back for him. Because he doesn't fit their scheme.
Yeah, but...
So they're gonna move to a scheme, fire the defensive coordinator.
Do you think people are going to jump at the opportunity to make that trade?
No. Somebody stupid will, probably.
And then run the risk of bringing in a guy guaranteed, fully guaranteed, $17 million?
Trying to move away.
1 year?
Trying to move away from Houston and him together. Like, not really impact
players. That is not what the franchise tag was intended for. I hope they get hosed on that.
I do, too. It's like, screws the player.
Sucks.
You hang him out to dry, saying, and you already announced he doesn't fit our system. We're going to sign him because we want something in return.
Yeah, Jadeveon Clowney was tagged by the Texans. Frank Clark was tagged by the Seahawks. Grady Jarrett was tagged by the Falcons, and DeMarcus Lawrence got the tag from the Cowboys, although I don't know if that's been officially announced. But
I think it was yesterday, but I think Seahawks did too. Seahawks tagged their defensive end, too.
All right, so free agency is coming up 8 days from now, right? Next Wednesday?
Yeah.
Thursday? What's the day?
Jackpot. 4 p.m. next Wednesday.
Okay, next Wednesday.
So the tampering period starts, what, Monday or Sunday or something?
All right, so next Wednesday at 4 p.m. is when it blows wide open.
League year. Love it.
And NFL free agency is right around the corner, and Trey Flowers did not get tagged yesterday. Is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? It wasn't expected. We didn't think that was going to happen.
I actually think
In terms of the other guys who were tagged, does that sort of suck up the market of potential free agent defensive ends? Especially in a case like D-Ford.
Straight. Right. Like, which player do you want? Which player is smarter? Which player has better leverage? Which player has a better motor? I'd go with Trey Flowers.
I think it's sort of a bad thing, and it's for this reason, and it was expected, so this isn't earth-shattering news. Trey Flowers is the best guy left.
Yeah.
If you're in the market for a player like
this. If you eliminate the tag guys, yes.
Yes. Yeah. This is now good news for him, bad news for the team. But it's not unexpected. I thought they would be in this position, and here they are.
Yeah, but if you're hell-bent on not losing a player, you go and tag him. I think they feel they could still retain him then. That tells me maybe they have some discussions or some parameters that they're trying to establish on some sort of a deal. You tag him, it puts it right at – you already set the market on him for 17 per. Then you can only go up from there.
Do you think there's any kind of backroom deal with Patriots, with Belichick, saying, listen, Brian Flores, I'll let you take a bunch of these guys with you on staff. You're not touching Flowers.
You can't do that.
Yeah, that
I know
is
you the, can't, but
the
do you think it would happen?
Tampering.
I don't think Bill would do that. I don't. Because Bill thinks you want to play for a player,
that.
Go ahead and do it. You would, yeah. I'm sure there's something that happens. Reason why, you know, why he shipped Jimmy where he shipped Jimmy. I mean, Bill does do some things.
Listen, you're going in division. You're taking all these coaches with you. Don't touch Flowers.
Yeah, that I don't think that goes on.
Or how about I'll give you Flowers for Tannehill.
That could go on.
Oh, that's good. Well, we won that one.
So that happened yesterday, and that just means, again, Trey Flowers is going to get paid, whether it's here or elsewhere. The man needs to get paid, and he will get paid, and I hope it's here. I hope they get it done.
I think he will be.
I hope they pay him.
And I don't think it's as crazy as it would sound 3 years ago or 2 years ago. Like, even the Hightower number now. You have guys, $188 million is the cap. The cap numbers are up. You got a lot of guys. I think 55 guys with cap hits of 15 or more?
Here's what I don't want to hear, that they can't do it. That somehow they're unable to do it.
I mean, you're reaching out to Chris Hogan already, but you're not talking to Trey Flowers?
How do you know?
I'm sure they are.
They talking to Chris Hogan?
That in itself, yeah, that was reported.
Yes, them and 25 other teams.
Yeah. Oh, thank God.
Yeah, the market for Chris Hogan is huge right now.
Thank God. I hope one of the other 25 teams makes that happen. Make it happen. But you don't know that they're not talking to him. They could be talking to him right now.
Of course, if you're hearing that they're talking to Chris Hogan, they are definitely talking to Trey Flowers.
I hope so. I hope that's what's going on. But I just don't want to hear that they can't do it or they don't have the cap space.
What are you doing to
kicker? Those are two things that, those arguments don't hold a lot of weight.
So you have until 4 p.m. today to tag people. What are you doing to kicker? Get a new kicker? Ready to go? Ready to start looking for a new
kicker? I would not prefer a new kicker. I'd rather they stick with what they have. And understand the shortcomings that may come with that kicker. Big game kicks being a biggest issue. End of year kicks.
It's something you don't have to worry about. I know there'll be an issue here or there, but like, you really want to go down that road? Or bring in a rook?
Who are the free agent kickers this year? Do we know?
I think he's top the list. I think Gold just got tagged, right? Robbie Gold got tagged. takes him off the market.
Let me ask you one other question. Any good kickers coming out through the draft? Any kicker buzz, Jim? I know you're a draft guy. There any kicker buzz?
I'm not a kicker draft guy, though.
No?
No.
Jim's just a left-footed punter guy.
Top place. How would I Google that? Top place kickers in 2019 NFL. Oh, look, someone else has Googled this. It's suggested.
Mass.
It's suggested here. Walter Football, that's a very popular publication. 2019 NFL draft prospects for kickers. There's the kid coming out of LSU. He's the top-ranked guy. Cole Tracy.
Cole Trickle.
Cole Tracy is number one.
Cole Tim Bob Tracy.
John Barron II out of San Diego State. Matt Gay out of Utah. Austin Siebert out of Oklahoma. And Justin Yoon from Notre Dame. Those are your top five kicking candidates.
Never heard of any of them.
Let's see. Yoon was 17 at 21. That's not good.
That'll be fun. AFC Championship good. Come down to the wire. Hey, Austin Yoon, go ahead in.
Siebert, 17 and 19 last year. Gay at Utah, 26 of 31. He had a 55-yard kick in there. Okay. A lot of these guys missing a lot. All these guys average 5 missed kicks, and they don't attempt that many either.
Every single kicker in college, wide hashes.
Tracy was 29 of 33. All but one of his misses were from 50-plus. Okay.
You know what I want? I want a kicker that's kicked in San Diego. Give me a kicker. It's kicked college in San Diego.
He didn't miss a single extra point last year.
Beautiful San Diego.
Did not miss an extra point. His long field goal of the year was 54 yards. Prior to playing at LSU, he was a top kicker at D2 and then transferred. Oh, he played at Assumption.
I've heard about this kid, yeah.
Okay.
He's apparently amazing, yeah.
All right, then.
I didn't know his name, but I knew the Assumption kid that was at LSU.
So the kid from Assumption was Cole Tracy that then went to LSU. That's the guy.
He's a trick kicker, right?
It looks like there's one guy in this draft that would be worth taking as a kicker.
You know, it's all part of this systematic philosophy in football to just ignore that kicking is still a huge part of the game. How many times do we hear that they don't even give a scholarship to the kicker? It serves as a walk-on position.
You have to earn it.
Yeah, you got to earn it, right? And then in the NFL, it's like, we got our kicker, but the backup is, maybe the punter. Maybe the punter will be able to do it. Maybe it's Wes Welker when he's with the Patriots. So they won't dedicate more than a position on any football team and not even have a real backup in the NFL. In college, they don't give scholarships. They don't develop kickers. And then everybody says, they're not even real football players. Doesn't matter. Until you miss an extra point or a field goal in a big game that costs you the game, and then everybody bitches about the kicker. You can't bitch about it if you don't pay any attention to it. And nobody pays any attention to it. Not at the college level, barely at the pro level. They just don't care. They only care when the guy misses. Whose fault is that? So from the very beginning. Either get it out of the game or start paying more attention to it. Because right now, nobody pays any attention. They don't develop these guys. They don't give them scholarships. Why would you go? Would you go be a kicker?
No.
No. I'm paying for school, and you want me to play football and kick? Why would I? I don't blame them.
617-779-0985. Pete's in Delaware with a take on overtime rules. What's up, Pete?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
Well, I'm not even a Patriots fan. I'm a Giants fan, but Andy Reid's an idiot. I mean, you have to, no matter what would have happened in that game, at some point, Andy, you would have had to stop Brady in overtime, even if Mahomes got the ball. Maybe if you didn't pay Sammy Watkins all that money and dedicated some money to your defense, you wouldn't have lost the game. But it doesn't matter. They would have had to stop Brady even if Mahomes got the ball.
Right. Yeah. That's the part that I don't get.
Or if you had a tight end that could block in a running game, maybe you could run the ball a little bit instead of putting it all on Mahomes and putting all that pressure on the kid.
What are you admitting there? I want multiple chances to stop Brady. Oh, no. No, you don't get multiple. It's overtime.
You get one.
It's overtime. You had a whole 60 minutes to stop him and be better than him. You win some, you lose some with the NFL overtime rules.
Right.
That's how it is.
All right. Zolak and Bertrand.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody.
Get Osgood Schlatter's disease, Rich, and I know you'll get a kick out of this. Beebe played the tuba in high school, was not a football player. see that big butt? He's able to drop that big butt down. That's pretty good, man. That's really good. For look at that. That's so smooth.
So the NFL draft went to network television for the first time this year. It got a 0.7 rating on ABC, that is. ABC. In comparison, it's from Austin Karp, Sports Business Journal. 0.7 overnight for the NFL Combine. It was Saturday, 1 to 3 p.m. Uh-huh. Not a great time, by the way.
Ooh, yeah.
Not a great time slot. I'll give you that. NFL Network also had Combine in that window. For some broadcast TV comparisons on Saturday, CBS did a 0.9 for Kansas-Oklahoma State. These are national numbers, by the way. Fox had a 0.9 for Michigan State-Indiana hoops. NBC did a 0.8 for gymnastics. So two college basketball games and gymnastics all did better in that window than the NFL Combine did. I just want to tell you, those of you who love the Combine and watch the Combine, and to some of my fellow media members who cover the Combine, not that many people care about the Combine. I hate to break it to you.
See, it's so long. It's so stressed out over 5 days.
I hate to break it to you.
I probably watched 7 hours of it.
There is not.
Over the weekend.
Yeah, but you're a little bit of a different case. So you're a former NFL player.
Yeah.
Okay, and you've got some insight into the game that other people just don't have.
But some years I'm in, some I'm out. Like last year.
And what's your favorite part? The quarterbacks.
The quarterbacks. But this year, like, I got excited because there's so much defensive guys in it. And I think you need defensive help a little bit, especially if you lose Trey Flowers. So you're watching that a little bit more.
And I'll tell you why I bring this up. Because I've talked to people before who cover the Combine and are very much into the draft prospects in the NFL, Hardy. And when they sit there and they they start talking to you about it, and you just sort of glaze over.
Your eyes glaze over, and you start to get that headache behind your
and
right
I've
eyebrow.
I've literally said to someone, I won't name names, I've literally said, yeah, I don't care.
And they get so freaking mad about it.
I don't get offended by that. Like,
that's not your style.
It's weird to sit there and watch guys run around in underwear.
You know really the type. Is. You know that type.
Oh, yeah.
You know the type that gets mad.
Mean?
Right?
Yeah.
You know
what
that.
Mean? You don't like it.
And you're like, I just don't. I love the NFL. I love Sundays in the fall.
There's something about the pressure of it.
I love watching football
combines, and it sucks.
I love football. I love watching football. When it comes to the Combine.
Yeah. See, for me, I went through it for 7 days. You got a pit in your stomach every day when you wake up because it's pressure and everybody's watching you. And they're watching every little single thing you do.
I even know college football fans that really dig college football and spend a lot of their life watching college football. And even some of those guys are like, yeah, I don't really do a combine thing.
driving around last night.
I mean, you can kind of see the numbers when they come out. Yeah. You can just look at the numbers.
Yeah, you can do that.
Right. Like I like.
But Zoe likes to watch how guys move and how guys carry their weight and stuff. Zoe's very particular about his analysis.
Right, because I'll get stuck on a guy or I'll attack a guy, and I'm like, you know what, I'm going to give him a benefit. And I watch that Hawkinson. I'm like, okay. I was critical of him last week. He's the most well-rounded tight end in the draft. He won't be there when you're picking. And I'm not doing that to cover anything up. I must call it like I see it. Kid can move. He's got great feet. Little arms. Little T-Rex arms. Yeah. That's good for blocking in here. It's not good when you got to extend and get out. And then you got that catch radius. Jones, of all people, even a vulture. Sports Vulture had a combine expert on last night. I'm driving around. I'm listening to it because you know why it was relevant to me? Talking about the kid from UMass.
Andy Isabella?
Isabella.
All right, but
listen to this breakdown. Hold on. Listen to this.
You want to talk about the draft analysis and
draft
the things
analysis,
that you, stereotypes
right,
and all
analysis.
I'm guessing.
Stereotypes.
I'm guessing that this guy, that
I want
we're about
you
to hear. What's his name? Do you have a name, Jim?
Tony Pauline.
Okay, Tony Pauline.
He's the guy that overheard Kingsbury say it's a done deal to about Kyler Murray.
I'm sure Tony Pauline is great and does a lot of hard work covering the combine, but I'm willing to bet that Tony Pauline is the same guy that gets pissed at someone when they're like, I just don't care, guy.
Yeah.
Here it is. Go ahead.
Listen to him on your little receiver there. Go ahead. Give me a...
If he's a day two guy, he's a late day two guy, but he is definitely a Patriots guy. I mean, he's the type of player that they bring in and they turn into a star. You know, the history of the draft is not kind to these sort of sought-off receivers. It's just that the Patriots have been able to make stars out of these guys. So I could see the Patriots maybe using a selection on him in round 3 or in round 4 if he's still available. he's a great receiver, and he showed himself to be a terrific athlete, or at least a very fast guy. And the film on him, you got to love the film. And it's not just against bad talent. I mean, the game against Georgia, right? He had 15 receptions. I believe 7 of those receptions were before in the first half. Did not have a good senior bowl. You know, is going to have mismatch problems against the bigger defensive backs. But he's a guy who just finds ways to get open. He's a good player. He's a good athlete. He's a smart player. I don't think he's going to go very high because there are bigger receivers in this draft that will go before him. But I think in the right system, like the Patriots system, he's going to be a good player at the next level.
Okay. Great player. Great athlete. Great times. Ran fast. Productive. He's not going to go until late second.
Good
competition. Everything. Fits all of it. What's the matter? Because he's a slot guy and he's white?
Probably.
Is that why? Because you're structured?
He's 5'9", white guy. He's
5'9", white guy.
And by the way, he didn't play in the slot at UMass.
He never said
5'9", and white. He said sawed off and smart.
Oh, well, that's...
And finds ways to get open.
Is he also the son of a coach? I mean, when do you drop that line in, too?
Right.
He's not, but still.
I bet this guy's cone drill is a hell of a lot better than DK Metcalf's, the 6'5" freak.
And don't you just laugh at all this, though? Like up 5'9" white guy receiver. He fits these protocols. Later round, gonna drop small.
The Patriots can make him into a superstar.
Patriots. Where do they
Patriots
win?
Third or fourth round.
Where do they win? Where do they win routes? Right.
I think a lot of it is BS too.
Who's the Super Bowl MVP? Oh, the 5'8", 5'9" white receiver on a slot, right? Oh, what? He won't match up well against the big defensive backs. Guess what, buddy? Big defensive backs don't cover inside. They kick in little guys on the slot because they got to run around and chase. You know what I mean? Then they're going to tight stack it like Will Greer told you about. This is how you get guys open. Little rub routes underneath. Whether it was Troy Brown, whether it was Welker, whether it was Edelman, they win on the slot, on the quick bang stuff. Why? Because that guys are quick in a little 5-yard space. They put a lot of stock through the Patriots in the 3-cone drill. You can sit here and you can laugh at it. You can sit here and measure DK Metcalf all you want. And how you know what he is? He's Josh Gordon to me. He's big. If he's going to get downfield, backs are going to get, he's going to get jammed.
My mind's working now.
He's going to get jammed.
This would be fun. I would watch this. You take the current NFL guys that have been in the league for like 5 or 6 years.
Go back and watch their cone drills.
And you make them do the drills. And you got to take good players, guys that have proven to be good NFL players, and make them do the drills that they make the kids do at the combine and see how they perform.
Mm. Yeah, see how they would grade out.
Yeah. Right. See how they would grade out if they were draft
successful
prospects.
Guys. Successful guys in the league.
Yes. So take Julian Edelman, who just won the NFL's Super Bowl MVP award, and put him in the 3-cone drill. I want to know how he does.
Well, right. It's like
crushes it.
Howard Stern years ago, they had Josie Scott come in and sing the song that was on the Spider-Man soundtrack from under, and do it in front of the American Idol judges. He did it in front of Paula Abdul and Simon Cowell and stuff.
Yeah.
But he was like in disguise, and he just sang an a cappella version. They were like, this kid can't sing. And, you know, it's like, you know, your look isn't right and all that stuff. And he took off his sunglasses a week and said, it's actually the guy who has the number one song in the country right now. Just so you know. So your whole idea of being able to predict how a guy is going to do means nothing.
So I'm talking to Jimmy D.
Edelman was 6'6", 2" in the 3-cone drill.
Is that good or bad?
I have no idea.
He
short shuttle, though.
To the point.
3'9", 2", he was the short shuttle.
But to the point of this 3-cone drill, I'm talking to Jimmy D, breaking his balls, who's the head video guy for the Patriots.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you got to go out to combine, right? He's like, oh, eight days, yep. He's like, we're out there, we're breaking down film left and right. We got a keg in the middle, all the video guys hang out together. He goes, but I'm assigned to one drill only, cone drill. He does the cone drill every year. It's the one he says they go over with a fine-tooth freaking comb. They'll sit there and super slow-mo this thing down and watch a guy's hips and watch how the weight moves once he transitions one way or the other. That's where they win football games. Quick bang stuff. I bet you Burkhead will blow doors in that 3-cone drill. Just a quick stop. Bang, 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 left, right. James White. All the guys that are productive guys. I bet you Dorsett would be pretty good in the cone drill.
First, our introduction. Zolak Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yo, VIP, let's kick it. Okay. Fresh out of pushing down on me, pushing down on you. Under pressure.
Is it No Man Is Formed Under Pressure? Is that the lyric?
It doesn't really matter.
Okay.
This world dressed up like somebody.
Watching some good friends scream, let me out. Gets me higher.
I don't know what this line is. Pressure on people? Something people on the streets?
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
Uh-oh. All right, so here's Jim's mandated fun.
Sounds like Michael Scott.
So we use Slack on this show. Slack, which is it's a tool, organizational tool that we use.
Tool, bunch of tools.
Yeah. Zoe can't bother to even log in.
I can't get in.
Rarely, if ever, has contributed something to the Slack thread
every
prior to each show.
And when he does, he sends it to the prior day because he hasn't looked at that day's
one. Of course.
Yeah.
He recently notified us that he hadn't logged in since prior to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, when he switched phones.
So that's
not my problem.
A month he's gone without really following anything that we prepared before the show.
Uh-huh.
Hardy today, out of nowhere, dropped something in there. And that never happens either.
I read Slack. I generally don't add anything to Slack.
Do you read Slack?
Sure.
Okay. All right.
Sure.
All right. Well, today,
obviously, I read it today. Well, I added something into it.
Where do you find these musical drops? Like you did it with the Beach Boys when Pet Shops.
So someone tweeted
pet
out.
Sounds.
Someone pet tweeted shop. A video, the a cappella version of that song, Under
yeah.
Pressure.
Yeah. Yeah.
The great. I believe one of the greatest pop songs of all time.
Oh. Oh.
Excellent. Excellent
oh.
song.
Oh. So we're gonna listen to a portion of this here. I think this picks it up like. The one that I posted picked it up in the middle. This appears to be a slightly longer version. So
this has been out there for years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of things, but they resurface from time to time online. What are you laughing at?
It's funnier when there's no music and there's no actual real words there.
There's some man in a room.
Boom-ba-bit.
Boom-ba-dat.
He's like, hey, how about that? That's what he said.
Boom-ba-dat.
That's not a word.
No, he said, hey, about that.
That's not lyrics.
Hey, what about that?
That's just noises.
What about that?
It's great of a singer.
Boom ba da da.
Who's my baby?
Like, this isn't something in a foreign language, right? This is just Freddie Mercury.
Come home, Bill Baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yes, please, sir. Don't mean maybe.
Don't mean maybe.
Okay.
Pressure pushing down on me, pressing down on you. No man asked for.
What? Can
no,
I stop?
No
What's
man,
that?
No man asked for.
No man asked for.
Ask for.
Asked for.
It's kind of no. Ask for. No man
no,
asked for.
Ask for.
No man asked for.
It's kind of
is that
know,
lyric?
Kind of Yoda speak.
Okay.
Under pressure.
Ooh, and now we got the harmonies going.
That brings a building down, splits a family in two, puts people on streets.
Oh, my baby.
Stop it.
Oh, my baby.
It's Freddie Mercury.
Tell you what.
Show some respect.
Freddie Mercury.
And David Bowie. Show respect for the double death.
Freddie Mercury runs circles around
you.
Here
we go.
That's okay.
That's okay. I sound like Tony Montana. You want to take a picture that lasts longer? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I'm the bad guy.
All right.
Say hello to the
bad guy. All right. All right.
It's okay. Say hello to the bad guy.
Hello? Is he Asian Cuban? What are you doing there?
Well, now you watch it.
That's okay.
It's the terror of knowing what this world is about.
Maybe I
can watching some good friends screaming, let me out.
Oh, what a weirdo.
Is that when he put his little Ziggy outfit
oh,
on?
Oh, boy.
It sounds like Hardy's Monster real. Mash headlines.
That's,
oh,
the real, that's the real Bowie right there.
It's Tuukka Rask.
That is Bowie.
Oh, Tuukka Rask.
Where tomorrow gets me higher.
Squeeze it.
Whoa.
Okay.
Here it is.
Here it comes.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
That's the one you would think that would be the most embarrassing.
It's not.
It's not. It's not even,
it's
the
not
top,
even close.
It's not even the top
not
three
even close.
So far of things that make you giggle.
Hi, Andre.
Keep going.
I'm glad. Okay. Okay.
Chipping around, kick my brains on the floor.
It's a ghost.
What a line.
Why is there a ghost?
Chipping around, kick my brains around the floor.
Yeah, when you listen to it like this and you read the lyrics at the same time, the song makes no sense.
You do that, I'll do the ghost.
No, you're not going to make any more random noises while we're trying to listen to this, please.
Chipping around, kick my brains around the floor. These are the days, it never ends, but it pours.
Is he doing that in the mirror?
Give me the part where he says
it pours. Puts lotion in the bucket.
It rains, it pours.
Why are we doing this to Freddy?
Your big
He's not here to defend himself.
Come on, keep going.
But it pours.
His little tank top with his Billy buck teeth.
This is the only make my appreciation for this song stronger than it already was.
Never ends, but it pours.
You don't ever. You don't ever. You don't ever.
Next.
Mash. He did the monster.
Come on.
The monster mash.
Seeing some good friends screaming, let me out.
See, that one's okay. I think Bowie sounds
better.
Better in the acapella than he does on the recorded. Yes. I mean, the full version.
I would say this does him some sort
of service.
His voice
is better. Yeah, by itself.
Yes.
Tomorrow gets me high.
Okay, stop.
That's ridiculous.
That's good.
That's really good.
Turned away.
Now they start whispering.
Now he starts to sound like Mike. He sounds like Michael Scott. When I love me, I love you.
A blind man.
Don't leave me.
Sat on a fence, but it don't work. Keep coming up with love, but it's so slashed and torn.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Insanity laughs under pressure, we're cracking. Can we give ourselves one more chance? Why can't we give love that one more chance? Why can't we give love, 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 give love?
So, I mean, this is pretty cool to listen to, but it's not like we haven't done this ourselves.
Okay.
You and Zoe have done a pretty good
acapella
version of this, too. And
yes,
I think Tom mixed together a few of these so we can hear them together
now. Thank you.
Gets me high, high, high.
Da-da-da-da.
You really can't tell where Freddie and Bowie end and you two begin.
Where Zoe and Beatle begin.
Right.
Gets me high, high.
We have one more. We have one
Please,
more. Please,
another one.
Pray tomorrow.
You know what's funny?
Pretty
good. At least our timing's good. Now they didn't like each other.
It's debated. Actually, I did some more research on that.
Why does he spit so much when he sings? You ever watch Freddie Mercury, like, the stuff at the piano? Like,
Freddie apparently called Bowie an a-hole at one point publicly.
Okay.
But then they reconciled actually at Live Aid.
Why does he have two beers and five Diet Pepsis when he performs? He always has two beers on his piano. You watch any of his concerts. Like the Freddie Mercury live stuff. When Queen, you watch some of the live stuff. When he goes to the piano, there's two beers.
At Live Aid. At Live Aid, it was like that.
There's five.
Well, they recreated Live Aid for the movie.
They're a big sponsor.
Under pressure. Pressure.
It's pretty good.
That part sounds weird without the piano.
Well, there's no reverb or anything else
major
going on.
Major gaps.
Yeah,
all right, mandated fun is over.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.